Hey guys, my name is Amy Coonan, and I am a millennial on a mission to eat, clean, cook, dress, and live more sustainably. It's because of that that I'm also the host of The Town Hall, Rubicon's first and only podcast where we share sustainability stories from the industry's influencers and the biggest brands. Jam-packed with tips, tricks, and need-to-know info for those that want to do better for the planet but may not know where to start. We are covering it all. Last year, we spoke to some incredible people who are doing some incredible things for our planet. The executive director of the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation, the CEO of Seven Generation Cleaning Products, and one of the brains behind environmental sustainability in the NBA. This season, we're kicking it up a notch. Don't forget to download and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or iHeartRadio so that you don't miss a minute. And if you can't catch us on your commute or you don't download directly, don't stress. You can check out our website at rubicon.com/townhallpodcast for recaps, reviews, and all things Town Hall. Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Town Hall. Today, I'm joined by Stacia Jensen, all the way from, you're in New Zealand, right?
We're in New Zealand, yep.
It is very early her time. It's actually tomorrow, but today we're going to talk about the mission and inspiration behind her beeswax wrap brand, Lily B Wrap. So thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, it's such an honor. Thank you. It's so great to be able to talk about this and be here with you. Yeah, thank you.
So where did the idea for Lily B Wrap come from? Walk me through your professional and personal timeline a little bit. And where do you think in that timeline sparked your passion for environmental sustainability?
So I call myself an accidental entrepreneur because this was not the plan. I don't know if I had a fixed plan per se. I was teaching yoga really intensively and at a retreat center and doing teacher trainings and decided to kind of just take the summer off. And I was a burnt out yoga teacher, which people sometimes wonder if that's possible. It is. And just traveling around New Zealand and being in the beauty that's here, when you see plastic, or it just feels really incongruent, and you start seeing sort of traces of tourism or traces of, you know, single use plastic. And I also was we were in a van, which is really common to travel around here like that. And our food was getting hot in the van. And the idea of hot plastic on the food was really gross to me. So I had lots of time on my hand, and I started wondering what people did before plastic, because it's a reasonably new invention. And then I fell pregnant, and that, as you may relate to, seems to change your own timeline and trajectory of things. So I grew up in the Pacific Northwest, reasonably a green sort of a place to grow up and environmentally conscious. But I feel like getting pregnant just changes things. Like the next generation is much more tangible, and the generation after that. So I stumbled across the idea of beeswax, using it as food storage, and then played around with some recipes. And even though I've lived in New Zealand for the last 10 years, I'm still very American in my habits. And I just want things to be easy and work well. I still have a streak of wanting things to be very convenient. And the recipes we first tried didn't work the way I wanted them to. They worked and I saw potential, but it took a few months to actually get the recipe right and something that I felt I would use. And then as a bit of a novelty, I decided to start a farmer's market stall. We have the New Zealand's oldest farmer's market in Hastings, really near us. And it's a very popular, really beautiful farmer's market. And I decided just to give it a go. Like, what did I have to lose? And it felt fun and very different from yoga and very different in the creativity space, just, you know, and it took off way faster than anything I would have anticipated. I was pregnant at that time, and then 2 weeks before the baby was due, decided to put up a website, because how hard could having a newborn and a new business actually be? It turns out hard. <Yeah. laughs> Like, if you've ever done either, I often see people's faces sort of blanch. And that first year, I still think I get anxiety when I kind of think back to that time. But it did enable me to do lots of interesting things. Like, my little man was with me that entire time, which is a bit really a luxury in a way. He also did lots of things, like went to lawyers meetings with me, or went to the bank, or, you know, we had to figure out systems that worked for everybody. And made it work. So we did the first year with a real direct-to-consumer focus, and that grew the beeswax wrap category in New Zealand exponentially. So all of a sudden, it became a big thing here. And we were called we became what we call New Zealand famous, where my little guy and I were recognized on the street because we did a video that became quite popular. Conveniently often, though, and he was like throwing a tantrum or something. And people would ask, are we the Lily Bees? And I'd say, yes, we are. Like,
where does that name come from?
It's a great question. So I have a goddaughter named Lily, and as a nickname, we often call her Lily Bee. And when I was looking for a name, I was like, wax and cotton. You know, I wasn't really sure. And because it was just sort of a novelty of going to the farmer's market, I was just like, yeah, we'll just use Lily Bee. And I liked the way it rolled off the tongue in my American accent. It sounds different in different accents. And I just kind of went with it because I needed a name and I liked it. So there was not more thought put into it than that.
So let's dig into the product a little bit. What is it about beeswax that makes it a successful single-use plastic alternative?
So that's a great question, and actually surprisingly one I don't get very often. So the best way I have heard it described is cheesemongers actually really love it because there's something about it that it actually feels in freshness, but it's still a living environment. So instead of it being really sterile like a plastic, it is still permeable. So there's a bit of a natural flow in and out, yet still feels in freshness. And I know that sounds a little bit odd, but that's essentially what nature does with beeswax, right? We add in a few other ingredients to make it more pliable. So if you use just beeswax on cotton, I encourage people, if they want to make their own, to do that. Just know it's not going to work quite as well. It's going to crack sooner and it'll wear out faster.
So what kind of environmental ROI have you seen since launching? You know, the fight against single-use plastic is obviously at the forefront of the mission, but what about like the fight against food waste? Is there any upside to having your food wrapped in beeswax?
Absolutely. So a couple of things there. When I do really know that making those small changes makes a difference. So we started in a one-bedroom cottage. I was pregnant and doing all the production, all the everything. Year two, we decided to focus more on the international market of the U.S. just because that's a natural extension for me. And we've now sold hundreds of thousands of wraps and estimate that our community has helped save over 55 million meters of plastic going into the environment. Now, that for me is a solid number. But what I think is the biggest sort of victory, if you will, is that lifestyle change. So I often say that we're a gateway drug, an eco gateway drug, because part of what I wanted to do was be very inclusive. I didn't want to be preachy. I didn't want to say you're zero waste or nothing at all. I'm not zero waste. And I know that I'm constantly trying to make better choices, but having a newborn and a business, and we had to make compromises. And I think most families can relate to that. So I really didn't care if you're someone who eats fast food every day and decides like this is something you want to try. We want to meet people with where they are. And then that empowerment and knowing that they can do something that makes them feel good often leads to other changes. So that's one of the big wins, I feel like, beyond just one, you know, stopping single-use plastic. Beyond that, we hear stories now because we're a little over 4 years old, and we hear stories about, you know, the sad roll of Glad wrap or plastic wrap that's still in a drawer that they've completely forgotten about. And now their kids, who are similar age to mine, have no concept of what it's for. So that's a whole next generation jump of a kid who thinks that using a wrap or an eco option is just normal. It's not an exceptional thing. So that's a whole nother generation that will likely then, you know, jump down to the next generation. And then as far as food waste is concerned, this was meant to be fun and enjoyable. So my big things were I wanted it to work as well as the conventional option, if not better, because I didn't want it to be a chore in any way. I didn't want it to be like, oh, I'm doing this thing because I have to and I feel guilty. I want it to be enjoyable and to add something. So that was why we chose really fun colors and fabrics and things where people engage. And now people talk about how they go and unwrap leftovers and it's like a gift to themselves. So feeling inspired about your leftovers, I was like, that's amazing. It also keeps food fresh longer. You can wrap your greens in it. So people kind of find their own techniques with it. But we often get greens out of the garden. And then if you wrap it up in lily bee, then it stays fresh longer. So your veggies stay fresh longer in the crisper if you use it there as well. So all those types of things, I think, help reduce food waste. I think the convenience of it helps, the enjoyment of it helps. And I also think that the more connected you are with nature or where things are coming from or what happens to things after you use them, the more mindful you become in general. So those are some of the ways that we look at it, of a more conscious, more holistic approach to living, not just a single action, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And I love that. You know, I've said on the show several times before that it's like a diet, right? Like where these small behaviors will lead to actual results and, you know, long-lasting habits. And a lot of companies and sustainable brands, like you said, will kind of bash you over the head with, you know, all of their green practices and zero waste or nothing. Mm. And, you know, we're upcycling X, Y, and Z. And that is obviously fantastic, but our audience are people who want to do better things, may not know where to start. And, you know, if they adapt Lily Bee into their routine, then that's a huge win. And I did want to talk about some wins for the company. I wanted to talk for a minute about all of your different certifications, because a lot of environmentally sustainable companies obviously hold themselves to the highest standard, right? We're holding ourselves to the Earth standard. You guys are no different. Mm-hmm. So through my like prep research, I found 4 different certifications, and I just kind of want to break these all down because I do find them very fascinating. So the first one is kind of talk to me about your packaging being sustainable forestry certified. What does that mean for your packaging?
So we actually work with a local supplier, and they got the, and this is something as a tip that I feel like people can embrace. So I know lives are really, really busy. And I think one of the great things about some of the certifications you're going to ask is that if you know that companies have some of these certifications, they're actually doing the heavy lifting for you. So they're making sure that all these things are in alignment, and all you have to do is align with that purchase. And I think that gets a win-win as far as I'm concerned. So it's sustainable forestry, and it's actually a really hard certification for them to get. And then for us to put it on the package, there's a whole thing that has to go on. But it's basically certifying that what they're doing within the environment and where they're sourcing the trees for the packaging is all ethically done. So it's sustainable, they're replanting, and then the equipment and the dyes they're using are as healthy basically for the environment as they can possibly get. So that's one. I will tell you I think you're going to probably ask me about B Corp as an example. I often say with B Corp, we thought that is a win, right? But we also thought that we could consider our package coming from, because they're literally around the corner from us, a locally sourced packaging. And B Corp goes in so deeply that they said, no, 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 we want to know where the trees are grown. And so that was a question that we hadn't even asked at that point our packaging folks. And so we had to dive again deeper. So that's how, with some of these certifications, if you get to know the certifications, you can trust those and know that they do deep dives into the company on a lot of different levels. That way you can really trust that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So that, what about the Global Organic Textile Standard certification? How does someone get GOT certified?
So that's again up to our supplier, and then that's up to the certification. So the GOT certification, they then go and make sure that where the cotton is grown and how it's grown, and even our particular supplier, we even use, because dyes in the textile industry can be really toxic, we use like a vegetable-based dye. So it again is as ethical and as clean as you can get it. So again, if you trust the certification, some certifications, to be perfectly honest, are not really worth as much. But again, if you get to know the company that's certifying them and you can trust that company, then you can look for those things, and that's sort of a nod. So that's what they start looking for. So they're So organic fabric is more around how it is grown and lack of use of pesticides and making sure, again, that it's as healthy for the environment as you can get in that organic space.
I think that, you know, the reason why I ask about the certifications is because I do find it very cool that there are people that care this much, right? Like they want to know where the trees are growing, you know, and a lot of times we just don't think about that. And maybe that's an American thing. It's something I'm certainly guilty of. And it's something that every time a new guest comes on or every time I have to write a new blog for work, I'm learning more and more about how each product is actually tethered to something much bigger. And moving from environmental, you know, certifications to the social ones, of course, you brought up B Corp. I love B Corp. Lily B is B Corp certified and Living Wage accredited certified. And I wanted to know, because we know what do these certifications mean to you as a founder?
So, and going back to your not knowing what the certification means, I think that's a big ask. I don't think it's anything to do with being American or not. I think, again, their environmental issues and the consumer choices that we make are reasonably complex. And I think that we carry guilt about that in a way that's just not realistic, because even knowing, you know, about certain organic certifications, I think you have to be within those industries sometimes and working with the companies before you really know if they're trusted or not. You know, there's all sorts of, and so I wouldn't beat yourself up over it. There's a lot of different moving pieces. So B Corp is the certification that, to be perfectly honest, I respect and I trust the most. And it's for a few reasons. B Corp I knew about in the States about 10 years ago. Some of my friends were really involved in B Corp in early days. So when I started a business in New Zealand, I knew that was one of the goals that I had. However, I didn't know how hard it would be. I thought it was going to be a bit more of a check the box sort of scenario. And they, how they look at businesses and the process of going through the certification is a little bit like a choose your own adventure. And I say that because there's no gaming in the system, if that makes sense. There's no just, here are the questions that they ask every company that comes in and here are the answers, or here's one section of your business. Like, you're doing manufacturing really well, but your people side is terrible, you won't qualify. So there's four pillars that they have. And then they do a deep dive into those areas of your business. And the example that I like to give is the packaging, where we thought, well, we're nailing that. And we're doing local packaging, of course. And they're like, no, where are the trees grown? And I was like, oh, right. So if you know someone's gone through that process, you know that, again, someone's done the heavy lifting for you, right? So one of the questions that they start with is, how big is your company? So I think it's like 1 to 3, 3 to 9, and then, you know, it gets bigger. And based on how you answer that question, a whole set of questions unlock below it. And a lot of questions are like that. So it's a very complicated test that's designed to flesh out for specifics for your business. So size or industry you're in, or it's just not a single brushstroke kind of test. And then they go in and they look at your answers and they ask more questions if they need clarification or, and so now it took us, a business that was already very, very much in alignment with B Corp values and purpose led, it still took us, I think, 6 months to get our certification. And that's very fast.
Yeah.
A company like,
that's faster than I think about ours. Yeah.
Yeah. So I now know, because I know about that test, anybody who says that they're B Corp, I fully trust them and what they're saying. And then we have to recertify every 3 years. And they make the test harder every year. So they expect you to keep getting better. It's not like you tick the box of B Corp and you're not thinking about it anymore. They expect you to keep evolving. And I think, and here, I don't know if they've done it in the States yet, but I know in Australia and New Zealand, they're looking at passing legislation that the B Corp values and B Corp certification, or to maintain that, will be in your constitution and will be legally binding, and your board of directors has to sign off on it. So
that's awesome.
So when I look at a B Corp certified company, I think, yeah, like, you're not just greenwashing me. You're not just singing platitudes. They have looked extensively at these four pillars and looked at how you're doing as a whole business and said, yeah, we're in alignment with that. being a living wage employer, we actually did that after COVID. So it was a really big stretch for us. And it was when we had stopped manufacturing for the States because the logistics was just too expensive and too wonky. And we reduced in size. But I say that my first 3 years, particularly as an entrepreneur, it was incredibly stressful. However, I never worried about feeding my kids, and I never worried about how much gas was going in my gas tank. And knowing, because we produce in New Zealand and because it's often moms who come and work for us, and that was not intentional, that was accidental. So at any given time, 95 to 100% of our company is female. We're not exclusionary, but that's often who shows up. And I realized that there was food shortage in homes, and people were putting $10 worth of gas in their car or not going somewhere on the weekend because they had to get to work. And that level of stress is so different to the stress of an entrepreneur, even if it does impact you personally or financially. So I think seeing that and knowing people who were not sure, they always had lunch for their kid on a Monday. Our management team, it was just such an easy choice to say, we will keep our salaries low and low for a startup business as well. But we want to make sure that our production folks have a little bit more security. And I can't imagine being a different way. You know, like it just makes so much sense to me. And I think I will always feel that way.
Absolutely. You have to take care of your people.
And why wouldn't you? Like, I just can't imagine having a pantry and refrigerator full of food and knowing that somebody else is hungry. Like, it just, especially within your sphere. So those are some of the things that I feel like we can't touch the whole world, but we can do things we can do within our environment. And that actually does make a difference. And that's how I sleep at night, knowing that there are much bigger problems that I can't tackle. I try to tackle the ones that are nearest to us and that I can influence.
I love that. Okay, before we wrap up, I wanted to play our quick little rapid fire game with you. And I'm just going to fire off 10, these aren't scary, like quick, easy questions, and you answer with the first thing that comes to your mind. You ready?
Ready.
1, who was the last person that you texted?
One of my best friends, Jill, who is in New Zealand, and she is an Irish woman who is amazing.
What is one item that you don't leave the house without?
Probably my kid. No. I think, as a sad answer, my cell phone, for sure. I will drive back for it just because it's sort of my lifeline to work and the rest of my life, as sad as that is to admit.
What is one thing on your bucket list?
Right now, it's seeing my family because New Zealand borders are closed. Yeah. So that it seems like a funny one, but it's been now a year and a half and we're used to seeing each other at least a couple of times a year. Beyond that, I'm starting to learn a new language. So I just signed up for a course that learning to speak Te Reo Māori, which is the indigenous population of New Zealand. So that's on my bucket list. And I'm looking to go back to school for counseling at some point, a counseling degree. My little guy you might hear a door here in a minute because he's looking at coming in. But sorry, if I had a talk show.
If you had a talk show, who would be your first guest?
Oh, that Oprah Winfrey. Like, if I could get anybody, I think I'm still an Oprah fan.
What was your first job?
My first job was in being a nanny. Yeah, I was a nanny at, I think, 16.
What is one staple that's always in your fridge?
Oh, that's a good question. What is always in our fridge? Probably milk for the coffee.
What is the last book that you read?
Oh, I'm actually rereading Anna Karenina right now.
What is one piece of advice you'd give to a budding female entrepreneur, accidental or not?
Know yourself and ask why several times. So I fully believe that if you know yourself and you act from that core center, that feeling of knowing, even when it didn't turn out the way I expected, it never has steered me wrong.
What is one thing you do to relax?
I still do yoga and I still do meditation. And when I when I really want to zone out and I'm just done, I do like to indulge in Netflix binge on the weekend.
And lastly, what does success mean to you?
Oh, that is a great question. So success is far beyond the financial sense for me. It's really living my values and authenticity that continue when I say I act, or when you act from that center point, to live in a constant state of that self-knowing. So I don't mean knowing in a general sense. I mean that when I say knowing, I mean when you are anchored in yourself and acting from that knowing and living that holistic, balanced life that I've defined for myself of working for me. I think that's a picture that continues to evolve and changes slightly as life changes and evolves. But I think the anchor points remain pretty similar. So financial success is in there for sure, just because that then creates a bit of ease and allows for some of the lifestyle choices that I would like to continue to live and have in my life. But yeah, that acting from the self is success, I think.
I love that answer. Stacia, thank you so much. One, for waking up so early and making this work with the time difference and everything, and giving our listeners a really unique eco-entrepreneurial story. As a mother myself, I really related to everything you had to say about the passion, what sparked your passion for sustainability, and just wanting to leave our earth a better, cleaner, and happier place for all of our kids. So thank you so much.
Thank you for your thoughtful questions. And yeah, it was a really lovely experience. I'm glad we got to connect.